Yeah, here we go now, baby. Right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Before You Bet, airing right now on the Covers YouTube and X channels, creeping close to that 20K subscriber mark on YouTube. If you are not subscribed to the Covers YouTube channel, make sure to smash that button right down there. A lot of great content here covering everything that's worth covering in the world of sports betting. If you're looking to lock in some bets here for tonight, Thursday Night Football, or this weekend, head on over to BetMGM. They have you covered for all of your sports betting needs. Okay, so coming off another 3-0 night in Major League Baseball, that's back-to-back 3-0s on the diamond there. No baseball today, but check out my Twitter, JTFOZ, might have a few plays up there. So it looks like a nice traditional game of Thursday night football tonight. We got the Patriots, we got the Jets, low total. And this one, Jets are always interesting, right? So we have four total bets for that one. And in the second half of the show, Jake Butt will be by breaking down the big storylines, a lot of big games in college football this weekend. We'll get some analysis and best bets for him. But let's start. It is Thursday, so let's start with Thursday Night Football, and we will bring in the man with the sexy smile in all sports betting, Jingles. How are you?
Big Joe, good day on the diamond last night, bud. That's always impressive, a little 3-0 action. It's nice to build a little bankroll for Thursday Night Football, too.
I am creeping back toward that 20-unit mark for the season. I got up to 25 units at the All-Star break. Then we had a bit of a swoon in August, but we're finishing strong here. Some good spots here. Oddsmakers might be sleeping on some of these numbers here, so we will take a look at that this afternoon. But for now, let's get into this Thursday night football game. Always interesting when the Jets are involved. The Patriots, meanwhile, a lot more competitive. And people thought they would be to open the season, at least. So, Jingles, let us get right into the action. I will hit leadoff for us. A good old-fashioned full-game spread bet. Give me the underdog. One more for the Patriots, plus 6.5 here. I think this is way too much respect for a Jets team that's been pretty unimpressive here so far. We all know what happened in week one. They got stomped by the watered-down version of the 49ers. Then in week two, they barely snuck by the Titans in a game where the Titans had more yards per play. I think Aaron Rodgers looks stiff. And this is not a well-rounded offense by any means. They got a really good receiver and a really good running back. I think Christian Gonzalez can have some success, not completely shutting down Garrett Wilson, but maybe limit him. And the Patriots defense as a whole has been really good against the run. They are third in yards allowed per rush attempt. And you look at the game situation here for the Jets. Oddsmakers didn't really do them any favors, did they? It's been a hectic start to the season. This will be their third game in 11 days. A lot of travel mixed in as well. Of course, Monday Night Football to open the season. They traveled to San Francisco. They traveled back home to New York. Short week. They traveled back down to Nashville. Then they traveled back home for, once again, a short week. So I think there's way too many points here. Patriots might be a boring game, hopefully a snoozer. Give me a 13-10 game. I would absolutely love that. Ooh. With the Patriots picking up the W, too. That would be nice to see. Okay, Jingles.
You hate the Jets. You really, like, you were bang on about their defense, right? Especially coming into the Monday night game versus San Francisco. You were barking that ladder. And I think so far, your analysis of the Jets has been pretty bang on. So if you get this one, I mean, that is a lot of travel for Aaron Rodgers in 11 days, man. Like, that's at, like, not even the travel. The football alone, three games in 11 days is nuts.
I am a Jets hater. I admit that. Maybe some bias gets worked into my analysis at times, but look at the numbers between Aaron Rodgers and Will Levis. I mean, Will Levis is he's a moron. He's a low IQ football player. Open the seat. Let's call it what it is, right? But throwing the ball, he was more successful at moving the football than Aaron Rodgers was last week. Just look at the stats. You cannot deny that. Okay, so you have two props. Let's go back and forth. I have one more to go. What do you have first for us?
All right, markets moved. NFL prop picks powered by the Blitz released this at plus 123 yesterday. Giant number, giant movement. Why? Because people are starting to understand what Alan Lazard's role is within this offense, and it's not a big one. So I'm going to take this. I'm still going to put the plus 123 record on my record, but I'm going to take the 105 as well. I still think there's some value here. The projection's about 2.2, minus 105. Like I said, the market is absolutely moving on this. And it was based on a week one performance where the guy had 9 targets, 6 catches, 89 yards, 2 touchdowns, won a lot of people a lot of money. But guess what he did in that game when it actually mattered? 0 catches, 2 targets in the first half of that game. He came on strong in garbage time. I think he got a touchdown from Tyrod Taylor. So it shows you what the Jets were doing within that game. Now we go to a situation where Mike Williams is starting to get some more snaps, cutting into already small target share. Went from 4 targets in week one, Mike Williams did, to 20 in week two. And we saw Alan Lazard's routes down 28 to 22 week on week. So, I mean, if he's running 20 routes in a game that they're projected to play ahead and there shouldn't be a lot of passing, especially with a 40-year-old quarterback who's months removed from an Achilles injury, playing his 11th game, playing his third game in 11 days. There's not a lot to like about this passing game. So give me Alan Lazard. I'll double up on him on top of the blitz number. 2.5 minus 105.
6.5 points I don't get. And I would like to retract the statement. I said Will Levis is a moron. I shouldn't have said that. He's playing like a moron is what I should have said. For all we know, this is a very nice guy, so I don't want to take a personal shot at him. He's put some low IQ turnovers, let's be honest here. Okay, my favorite prop for this game, I'm going to go with Ramondre Stevenson, over 64.5 rushing yards. So very high usage right off the bat here throughout the first two games. He's fourth in running backs in total snaps so far this season. And this has led to some decent production here. 46 total carries, games of 81 and 120 rushing yards so far. Now, I know, yes, there's some issues along the offensive line here for the Patriots, but the Jets have not been good against the run so far this season. 20th in yards allowed per rush with 4.7. And it's not like they were going up against Saquon Barkley and Christian McCaffrey. That's up against Tony Pollard and Jordan Mason. Those guys, Pollard didn't have a great day. We know Mason did there in week one, but I still think that's a conservative number here for Stevenson, given his usage here. So we'll take over 64.5 for him. And I have a feeling you're going to bring up the Patriots offensive line
disaster.
So maybe a bit of a contradiction to not really though. Okay. Yeah. Break this one down.
All right. Jets team total over 2.5 sacks, minus 125. This is only going to get shorter, I think. Available this morning. Take a look at this New England line. Big issues. Short week, obviously harder to get healthy. Starting left tackle in Lowe and left guard Sal out. Okay. Starting center in Andrews, right tackle in Onuwanu, limited. They are questionable. They're already dealing with depth injuries. Their best center is on the pup. Their backup center is on, the backup guard is on IR. This is a game that GameScript will show if things go well and actually go to this 6.5 point favorite. We'll put New England in passing situations late, obviously increasing the New York Jets pass rush opportunities. What have they done so far? 4 sacks versus Will Levis in week 2 in a game that saw lots of neutral GameScript, and 3 sacks versus San Francisco in week 1. Where San Francisco really didn't even need to pass the ball in the second half. So it could be tea time for this New York Jets pass rush, and I expect this to get either really expensive or flip to the 3.5.
I've got a feeling we're going to see a lot of punting here tonight.
16-10, Joe. 16-10. Or what'd you say? 13-10, Pats.
13-10 Patriots. Let's go. A lot of turnovers here tonight, too. Maybe we will see in favor of the Patriots, hopefully, because I'm picking them to cover the spread here. Okay, Jingles, that does it for your appearance here today. But you're going to be right back with us tomorrow, the Mega Football Friday show. We're going to have an avalanche of picks for the Sunday NFL game. So enjoy the game tonight. Best of luck with your bets. We're due for a sweep in one of these primetime games here. I think maybe tonight will be the night, not a reverse sweep, hopefully a true sweep here. So best of luck, and we will catch you tomorrow.
Awesome. Thanks, Joe. Good luck to us. Transparency, 9-7-1, plus 2.66 units on Before You Bet so far. So the two over 22.5 completions, didn't work out great last week. 1-1 on Thursday, but 2-0 coming Thursday night. Let's go.
Indeed. Yeah. That Thursday night football game that last week, that was very difficult on me as a fan of the Miami Dolphins. So hopefully as a hater of the New York Jets, I have a little bit more of a fun time here tonight. Okay. Jake Buck coming right up here, guys. If you're watching on YouTube live right now or on X, you guys can participate in the show. Hit up the live chat. Let us know what you like for the Thursday night football game tonight. What do you like in college football this weekend? What do you like in the NFL this weekend? What do you like in Major League Baseball? Let us know and let us know why. Building a nice little community here for Before You Bet viewers. And we appreciate you guys tuning in. Okay, let us now shift gears mainly to some college football. Going to touch on a little bit of NFL here as well. Let's bring in our guy, former Michigan Wolverine, former Denver Bronco. Doing great work for the Big Ten Network, our guy Jake. But Jake, what's up? How we doing?
I was listening. I feel bad too about last week. I was riding with the Dolphins. That was ugly for so many reasons. So much so that I had to DM you and vent a little bit, Joe. So that was nice to interact with you outside this show.
Yeah, the wheels fell off even before the awful stuff with Tua happened. And
yeah,
that was a difficult watch. As a fan of the Miami Dolphins, I have been witness to a lot of situations where the wheels completely fall off.
Yes.
And, you know, then it got really bad towards the end. Disturbing. Okay, Jake. So a lot of big games this weekend in college football, a lot of ranked matchups here, but we do have a couple of topics, big picture stuff that we will touch on here beforehand. Then we'll get into some analysis and some of your picks here for the weekend. So simple assignment for you right off the bat here. Georgia, Ohio State, Texas. How do you rank them?
I'll just tell you what, like the national champion is going to come from that group of three teams. It's exciting to have the expanded playoffs. Really only so more bowl games matter, but it doesn't mean more teams can actually win the national championship. Right now I have Texas at one just because of their impressive win on the road at Michigan. It was in dominating fashion. Now it's kind of similar to the USC-LSU week one game, where as the season goes on, we have to observe what Michigan looks like because the context of that win could change. But for now, I have to give it to Texas. Their quarterback situation is as good as anyone has in college football. They got two elite quarterbacks, but a close second, you could certainly convince me that Ohio State is the best team in college football. What's really cool about my work is I get to meet with the staff. I meet with Ryan Day. I meet with Jim Knowles and Chip Kelly and the team. I get the sense, man, it's hard to shake the feeling of how determined that team is right now. And I do think that counts for something. Georgia, they've been beat up at different positions. They've looked not as clean or as dominant as the other two to start the year. But again, certainly they could make a run.
Yeah, people down on Georgia a little bit after that performance versus Kentucky there last week. Okay, one team on the rise, Mississippi. On the rise here in the SEC, some explosive offensive performances to open the season. The schedule is going to get a lot more difficult for them as the season goes here, but they've outscored their opponents 168-9 so far this season.
Pretty good.
So how do you think they stack up against the other top teams here in the SEC?
You know, again, like I have Texas, I have Georgia, but like that, man, the SEC is deep right now. And you can expect explosive offense from any team that Lane Kiffin coaches. But so Tennessee has looked phenomenal. They got a big one versus Oklahoma this weekend. Alabama still looks good. Like Missouri is a dangerous, well-coached team. The conference is so deep that do I think Ole Miss could make a run? Absolutely. Do I believe in their explosive offense? Absolutely. But is it hard for me to say that I would pick them right now? Absolutely as well. They remind me of a Penn State in the Big Ten, you know, in a team that wins a ton of games, a very good program, but has been caught on the outside looking in for too many years now for me to start believing in them to make a seriously deep run at any championship.
Okay, that was big picture. Let's get into some of these big matchups here this weekend. And they do get started on Friday night. I love this approach that they're taking with these Friday night games, giving us kind of a, they've always had Friday night games, but more marquee matchups on the schedule here this season. And we have Illinois versus Nebraska. Somebody's O has got to go. A couple of undefeated teams here. Nebraska's favored by 8. Total on the low end of 43. What do you think of the matchup?
I like Illinois, but I love Nebraska. I really do. And I know, I think we might have talked about it. Part of people's hesitation to buy Nebraska is how they've looked now going on for the better half of a decade. But they weren't a bad team. They just did the things that bad teams do, which is namely turn the ball over. You simply cannot win turning the ball over at the rate that they have. Well, they've got that fixed. Now they're +3 to start the season. They got a young quarterback in Dylan Raiola that looks poised, a 5-star freshman. And the best thing they have going right now, and this applies to any rookie quarterback, college or the NFL, a elite defense. This is the thing. It's expected to be maybe in inclement weather this Friday. You're going to have to be able to run the ball and play great defense. Tony White, their defensive coordinator, is going to be a head coach one day. That team is humming. And they also have a great, great run game, a better run game that I trust right now than Illinois. So that's probably where that heavy favorite comes, 8.5 points for Nebraska. Hard to bet against them.
Okay, let's talk your old school, Michigan. Big, big, big game for both of these teams. USC coming to town. Big game in the Big Ten here. The Trojans favored by 4.5. The second time already this season that Michigan will be an underdog on their home field, by the way. A total on the low end, 44. USC can make a real statement here. Wolverines have underperformed. They're 0-3 against the spread already this season. Do you think USC makes the big statement here on Saturday?
Why do we have to connect this year? Like, if I connected with you last year, the foundation of our relationship would have been built on joy for my alma mater. But boy, has it been tough to watch them. And I called their game versus Arkansas State. Okay, cool. You got the run game going. Arkansas State is 114th in college football in run defense. Not good. And a lot of the things I wanted to see was, hey, get off the field on third down. Couldn't do it versus Arkansas State. I wanted to see him tackle well. Didn't do it consistently. Even in the run game, if you turn on the film, they're missing assignments and missing blocks at the point of attack. I'm going to use this analogy a few times where, you know, we're at that point in the season where we're kind of peeling back layers of the onion. You know, you have that outer skin and maybe that outer shell until you get to the good onion you can cook with. This is a big week because what I believe is USC's defense is fixed. I certainly believe they're much more physical, but there's no doubt about it. This is going to be a big test going into the Big House, particularly with Michigan having Alex Orji, their mobile quarterback. Gosh. Here, I'll prove I'm not biased. It's hard to pick against the Trojans in this matchup.
Indeed. Okay, so from the Big Ten to the Big 12 here, big showdown here. Utah, Oklahoma State, Cowboys are favored by 2.5, total 52. 7 straight wins at home here for the Cowboys, who have looked strong on offense to open the season. How do you see this one going down?
This one, of all the games we're talking about, this one is the biggest toss-up to me. A lot of it rides on the shoulders of Cam Rising, the quarterback for Utah. Been dealing with injuries. There's questions of how healthy is he? Will he play? If he does play, what can he do? Had stitches on his throwing hand. So that is a major concern, but I love Kyle Whittingham. I love the program of Utah. I do believe they're a team that can handle the environment going on the road. But, you know, Oklahoma, here they come with Alan Bowman. Here's a fun fact for you. The combined age of Caleb Williams and CJ Stroud in the Bears versus the Texans last week is younger than the combined age of Alan Bowman and Cam Rising. So we got two college quarterbacks. These guys are old. To me, this is a toss-up either way. I like the home field advantage for Oklahoma State, but let's just track the news of Cam Rising. That'd be my biggest piece of advice. What's he doing in practice? What are the coaches saying? What are his teammates saying? Some of his teammates have said he's playing, but his health will be the deciding factor in this game.
Okay, fun looking one here on Saturday night. We have Tennessee favored by 7 over Oklahoma. Total of 57 points here. The Volunteers red hot. They've been a lot of fun so far this season. 3-0 against the spread, 3 overs. Each of their games has gone over so far this season. They've been doing all the heavy lifting here too. They've outscored their opponents 191-10. Now, pretty stiff challenge though, I think. 10 straight wins at home here for the Sooners. What do you think of this one?
Yeah, I mean, the challenge for Tennessee is I love what they have constructed on both sides of the ball. Like, see, this is a team, when we talk about Ole Miss in the SEC, Tennessee's a team that can make some big-time noise. The issue is they've blown so many teams out, I don't know what they look like when they're challenged. And they got a young quarterback in Nico Iemelaeva, who I think if he can go on the road and win this game, we're talking about a Heisman, you know, we got to include him in the Heisman conversation. I know we had that conversation last week. Right now, Tennessee, top to bottom, looks like the better team on both sides of the football. I have more trust in them. Josh Heupel knows how to coordinate a great offense. He's got his quarterback. And then that D-line, I mean, they got, I believe his name's James Pierce, their defensive end. This guy is a first-round talent that just hasn't had to do anything yet because they've been dominating teams. We see what that can do to affect Oklahoma's offense when they are dealing with pressure. To me, this one is a chance for Tennessee to go on the road and roll.
Okay, best bet time. We'll do one for college, one for the NFL. We'll do one of these every single time we have you on. Your best bet of the weekend for college football, who are we looking at?
Man. How could I bet against Rutgers? I'm going to ride with Rutgers. They are the underdog. They're the underdog. So you're talking about a plus money line bet right here. Yeah. Rutgers. So they're going on the road to Virginia Tech. And I know this growing up in Columbus, like Virginia Tech always gave Ohio State fits. Like, this is a tough environment. Enter Sam, like all this stuff. But I say this, Rutgers is a veteran team. Like, that's the only advantage Virginia Tech has in this game, is that it's a tough environment. And it does matter. But Rutgers is a veteran team. I watched them last year. I called their game on the road versus Michigan. That was a game deep into the second half. I watched their game versus Ohio State. They should have beat Ohio State on the road in Columbus last year. So this team, and they return nearly everybody. So this group of guys has proven that they can handle tough environments. Right now, all the PFF grades, one of the best, highest rated offenses in college football, top five offensive line in college football, Kyle Manungai, he's going to be running for some NFL team, and the world will know his name one day. He's that good. And all of a sudden, they finally have quarterback play from Gavin Wimsett. You know, when you go on the road, you better be able to play defense and run the football. That's the antidote. Man, this one looks like a tasty pick for Rutgers.
Okay, what are we looking at here for the NFL? We talk about the Carolina Panthers. We're not going to spend a lot of time talking about them now, but I was kind of perplexed coming into the season. A lot of people in the betting community, they had some buzz. They had some buzz in week one. They had some buzz again in week two. People, don't overreact to what you saw in week one. And you were right about the Chargers there. No sweat win. They stomped them.
Yep.
And you like the Chargers to keep on rolling here on Sunday, right?
We've had a few no sweat wins. So we celebrate all wins here. All right. We had one week one. We got one week two. Let's keep it hot, baby. Let's go with the Chargers. And I just like the matchup here. What are the Steelers? Well, TJ Watt, baby. He can single-handedly wreck a game. The Chargers are the anti-NFL right now, where they're built from the trenches out. I don't know how much you follow NFL Twitter. All this talk about quarterback play is down. Defenses are running more too high. It makes it hard to throw. What a perfect time for Jim Harbaugh to come back in the NFL and have one of the best offensive lines, one of the most dominant run games, and saying, hey, Justin Herbert, we know you can win with your arm. You're that talented. We're going to play great defense and run the football. Joe Alt is a 6'9" mountain of a man. He made Jadeveon Clowney look like a JV high school, JV football player last week. TJ Watt, going to be hard to do that. That dude's extremely talented, but that length is something that is extremely rare. If anyone could slow down that pass rush, it's Joe Alt in the Chargers offensive line. I also think that, Justin Fields, he looks good. I'm betting on Jesse Minter, the defensive coordinator. Brilliant, brilliant mind. It feels like this, we haven't seen the odds adjust to where the Chargers are at as a football team right now.
Yeah, very low total in that game. And another game this week with a low total is the Thursday night football game going down tonight in beautiful East Rutherford, New Jersey. Divisional matchup, the Patriots in town. Jets favored by 6.5 in this one. Any thoughts here on the Thursday night football game?
Yeah, I know you're riding with the Patriots again. This is a tough one to pick, but I'm looking at this in a different way. Patriots playing an overtime game last week, right? Extra reps. I get it's early in the season, but now you got to turn around real quick on the road, travel. I know it's a short trip, but it's still time and energy committed to traveling. You're out of your own home. You're sleeping in a hotel. You're doing walkthroughs in the ballroom, all this kind of stuff. I just think on a short week, there is an advantage to the home team. There's also an advantage to an experienced coach where Jared Mayo's in his first year versus Robert Saleh up there in the Jets. And I'm saying this too, where Aaron Rodgers, you still see the old Aaron Rodgers, the zip on his throws, the talent, the accuracy. He's only going to get better and feel more comfortable as the season goes on. That Jets defensive line is going to have to show up. They're going to have to slow down the run game by the Patriots. But I do like the Jets in this one.
Okay, so the Jets. So we're kind of on opposite sides. I took the Patriots on the spread, right? So maybe a tight game. How about a 2-0?
That's not a bad pick. I think that easily, because that's a big spread for some teams that are still kind of trying to find themselves.
Yeah, it could be a good defensive game here. 2-0 Patriots. 1 safety. How about that? I would love to see.
Not on Thursday night. Can we get a real football game, please? You know.
Well, that's like a classic game of Thursday night football. Okay, let's end with something fun here. The topic of travel comes up all the time on the show. It's come up a couple times today. Sometimes I think us bettors, when we're handicapping, people can overvalue travel a little bit. And sometimes it affects different teams and different players different way. Like I often like to say, like people, they're traveling, they're going on the road. And I say, guys, they're not all piling into some guy's dad's van, sleeping 2 to a bed at the Motel 6 here. You know, this is first class travel. Now, you played for a big-time program at Michigan. You played for the Denver Broncos. What are the biggest differences when going on the road in college compared to the NFL?
Yeah, it depends per team, per organization. In college, if you were a starter, you got the lay-down seats in first class. In the NFL, we didn't. We were literally in economy. Now, you didn't have anyone sitting next to you, which is nice. But still, you know, that's... You know, you'd rather have the nice big recliner seats and everything like that. It travel matters. There is a curve. The further you have to fly, the bigger toll it is on your nervous system, your sleep schedule, your hydration. This is something you learn. You get just dehydrated being on a plane in general. And then also, like, it affects everything. So, okay, yes, you're staying in a nice hotel. Well, your walkthrough is now in the hotel. You're meeting, you're watching film in like side rooms, and everything is more challenging on the road, right? That's why there is a home field advantage. I guess one of the fun things is the big difference. You get a little bit of money in the NFL, so we'd get per diem. And one thing that we'd do is you get like $100 cash, basically like $250 bills. And the stewardess would come around with a pillowcase, and everyone would write their number down on the $100 bill or on the $50 bills and put it in the pillowcase. And if you were a rookie, you had to put your money in there and you couldn't win. So you're basically donating it. Just tell your CPA that's a write-off. So then the stewardess pulls the first dollar bill out, you know, says the number, that person gets their money back, pulls another dollar bill out. Everyone cheers. That person doesn't win. It goes back in the pillowcase. And then the third person wins the entire pillowcase. And it ends up being like right around $3,000, depending on how many vets decide to put their money in. So that was always a fun part. I never won it. I never even got my money back. But it was always just fun to be a part of that with the guys and cheer in the back of the planes.
Damn, that's a nice stack of cash. So who put you up in better hotels, Michigan or the Broncos?
They're really the same, honestly. You get, again, you know, a program like Michigan, there's plenty of funds. Pretty much the same.
What about stuff like curfew? Obviously, it's grown men in the NFL versus college, obviously younger players. Was there a curfew depending on the league that you were playing in at the time?
Yeah, there'd always be a curfew, college or the NFL. And really, like, you know, of course there would be. Like, you're here, we're not, it's a job and this is a career. And I just think it'd probably be even disrespectful to the viewers. Like, well, you're not taking your job seriously when you have the opportunity to make that. Like, all you got to do is stay in for 3 months a year and then go out and party in the off season. So they didn't necessarily need to do it, but They would do it. They'd have someone knock on your door and, you know, the security guy would come check and make sure you're in your bed and stuff like that. No stories of anyone sneaking out for either at either level.
What about sneaking people in, though? You hear stories about that, right?
Okay. So, yeah, that you know, the guys, and I won't name any names, they might buy an extra hotel room on a different floor in the hotel. And, you know, you'd have some time in between meetings. I've been happily married, though, and dating my now wife for 10 years. So nothing I could share with you guys about the down and dirty.
Yeah, we're all about loyalty here.
That's right.
But, before you bet. Okay. Yeah. I am very curious about the life of a high level football player. So I'm going to have a lot more questions for Jake about that type of stuff as the season goes. But Jake, we will leave it at that. Best of luck with your picks here this weekend and best of luck with your work with the Big Ten Network.
Thanks, Joe. Good to see you, man. See you next week.
Awesome. Yes, sir. Guy right there. Jake Butt. Always a lot of smart stuff to say. Okay. Winding right down here on the Thursday edition of Before You Bet. Just to recap the picks here off the top of the show, if you missed our Thursday night football picks, I like the Patriots +6.5 points. I think the Jets are getting way too much respect with that number. Stevenson to go over his rushing yard total of 64.5. Jingles likes Alan Lazard under 2.5 receptions. I love those dinky little bets, right? Sometimes you might not think it's a fun thing to root for. I know everyone loves taking the overs, but that looks like a smart bet. I like to break down on that. And he likes the Jets defense. They have a little bit of a night here. That's a modest number, I think. 2.5 at -125. Like that one quite a bit. All right, so we're going to be right back with you guys tomorrow for the mega football edition of Before You Bet. Brad Powers will be hitting leadoff. We're going to be taking a look at the biggest games of the weekend in college football to get all of his best bets. And there's a lot of big games here on the college schedule. And then Jingles and I, an avalanche of NFL picks for the Sunday game. So thank you to everyone who's tuning in today. Thank you to our sponsor, BetMGM. Thank you to all the guys there in the live chat. Best of luck with your bets tonight, and we will catch you guys again tomorrow. Woo!